all the young people that want to go to Sunday school can be dismissed at this time. You're more than welcome to stay in the service if you'd like. If you have a Bible, turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 4. We're going to read that psalm. I love the Psalms. They're always comforting, always strengthening, always a light unto our path. And we'll see what the Lord has for us today. It's good to be in church, and it's good to sing praise to God. And if our heart is open while the word is open, there's a wonderful connection there because God speaks to us. Amen. He can speak and we can't hear. That's why in Revelation it says, he that hath an ear to hear what the Spirit saith. And so we will see that today. Let's begin reading in verse 1 of Psalm 4. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah. But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than at the time that their corn and their wine increased. Gladness in your heart. Amen. That's a good text. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. Boy, that's a good text too. I guess you could take a text from anywhere in the Psalms. And it says, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. What I'd like to speak about this morning is where it says in verse 4, stand in awe. In awe. People use the word awesome. And our God is awesome. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word today. May your Spirit help us as we speak and as we hear. God, may you create something in us today that would be pleasing to you. May we enjoy you. May we love you more. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand in awe and sin not. Awe means fear mingled with admiration or reverence. It's a reverential fear. When we talk about some places in the Bible where it says, fear God, the beginning of wisdom is to fear God. That's a reverential fear. That's not we're running away from him. We think he's going to hurt us. We're just in reverence. We have other Bible words. Astonished is a Bible word. That's confounded with fear, surprise, or admiration. Amazed, that's a good Bible word. That's confounded with fear, surprise, or wonder. So what we're talking about today is reverence, amazement, astonishment, wonder, all about our God, all about his word. I read something today about the universe, and they've got this new telescope out, and it's seeing farther and farther and farther, and they're changing their ideas on how the universe came into being, and some are saying there was no Big Bang. Well, we have the answer to that, right? God created. He spoke the worlds into existence, and by faith we believe that. And to see the universe or to read about it, there's no wall that they're going to reach. It just goes on and on and on. And you think about that and you wonder that God just spoke all of that into existence. Absolutely amazing. These are all biblical responses and attitudes that we have because we believe in Almighty God, because he is our personal Savior and we know him in an intimate way. There's all kinds of things that we can say that we're experiencing today. Some fear of the world, some depression, some all kinds of problems. But when you think about God and you put your mind on him, there's some excitement, there's some amazement, there's some wonder, and it's God working in your heart. True reverence will always lead us away from sin and toward holiness. Stand in awe and sin not. If there's no reverence, then usually we go the opposite direction. There's a story in Matthew 21. I just want to read it. It's a parable. And the Lord is talking about the history of Israel here. In verse 33, I'll just read it. Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. So that's speaking about God, and it's speaking about the nation of Israel. And it goes on and it says, and when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandmen took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. God sent the prophets to Israel so that they would bring forth fruit for him, for his glory. But this is what they did. They killed them. They stoned them. In verse 36, again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son. That's the next verse, saying, surely they will reverence my son. And what did they do with the Lord? They put him on a cross. They killed him because they said he's the heir and we don't want anything to do with him. And so we see that because there was no reverence, there was no reception of who owned the vineyard and who was rightfully in charge or receiving the fruits of that vineyard. In Job chapter 21 and verse 15, there's a group of people that said, what is the Almighty that we should serve him, and what profit should we have if we pray unto him? There are many like-minded people today that say that. In Exodus chapter 5, Moses came before Pharaoh and said, the Lord says, let my people go, that they may serve me. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? I know not the Lord, neither will I obey his voice. And so without a reverence for Almighty God, without this awe, without this wonder, without this astonishment, there's a tendency to go away from God and not be drawn to God. I'm very glad that I'm saved today, that I know the Lord. And no matter what the circumstances of life are, he is there with me. That is priceless. We have in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28, wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. So that's how we serve the Lord. Amen. We honor him. We glorify him. We reverence him. We respect him. And it's easy to serve him. Psalm 89:7. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Reverence means fear mingled with respect and esteem. It's veneration. We have the word esteemed. It's valued, estimated, highly valued, prized on account of its worth. Remember in, I think it's Hebrews 11, where Moses, rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, he went God's way, and he refused all the riches of Egypt and all the power there, and he esteemed his choice. He valued his choice, even though it was a loss physically and materially. And we have in Isaiah 53, speaking about the Lord, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. How can that be? How can that be? He was despised and rejected of men. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. God has been so good to us, and we value that. That means something to us. But again, Israel in Deuteronomy 32:15, it says about Israel, he forsook God which made him and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. And how can that be? Have you ever read the Bible and you came to the part where Moses parted the waters, parted the Red Sea? And then after they got on the other side, they began to murmur and complain. And you go, how could they do that? How could they see the Red Sea parted and go across on dry ground, all the plagues, all the deliverance, all that God did for us? How could they ever go back to doubting God or complaining about God? You ever think that? And then that happens to us, right? We get discouraged over something. We've seen God work over and over and over. We've experienced his grace, his wonder, his love, his mercy. And then sometimes we get in a little problem and there we go. The disciples were in a boat one time with the Lord, and he was down on the hinder part of the ship asleep, and a storm came up, and they said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he said, oh, ye of little faith. And he said, peace be still. He's done that for us over and over and over. If you are in awe and wonder, sometimes we come to church, sometimes we read our Bibles in the morning, sometimes we're fellowshipping with other believers, and it's just a routine. Have you ever been there? It's just like a routine. Like, that's why we put the clock at the back of the church. Amen? And I know all the tricks, you know, where you can check your clock and all that. But I mean, if we're in awe and wonder, it creates something in our heart. There's a hunger in our heart. Astonishment, amazement. If you've entered into a holy of holies, if you've come before the throne of grace or the mercy seat or in the very presence of God and your devotions are wonderful. Your church experience is a blessing. Oh, he's done already, you know? And so the word keeps coming, and when our hearts are right, it does so much for us. It's just such a blessing. If you've seen his hand, felt his comfort, experienced his mercy, that means so much, and you'll never be the same. We have our highs and our lows. We ride the roller coaster, but we praise God for all he's done in our life. A little bit more in the way of introduction, Psalm 22:23. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. Enter his courts with praise and thanksgiving. We come to church. Psalm 147:11. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him and those that hope in his mercy. Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 3:7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. It says, stand in awe and sin not. It creates something in us. It draws us to God rather than drive us away from God. As long as we're in awe and wonder of Almighty God and his blessings, his benefits that he loads us with every day, it draws us to God because it's that love. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, ye have love one toward another. It's the love of God that draws people together. Holy living, true holy living, is connected with love and reverence. If you love me, keep my commandments. In Jude, verse 21, it says, keep yourselves in the love of God. 1 John 5:21, keep yourselves from idols. So we know what's right to do. Amen? Whatsoever things are good, honest, lovely, all of those things, think on these things. Why? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So we cast down imaginations. We bring every thought to the obedience of Christ. And when we think about how good he is to us, it automatically just draws us. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus is dying on the cross. That great love was expressed there. And as long as we keep that in mind, we're going to have the Lord's Supper today. Sometimes it can just be routine. But when we really see the Lord in the bread and in the grape juice, then we understand it's a picture of his blood, his broken body. And we see him. Amen? And it helps us to enjoy that experience. He says, this do until I come again. In 1 Kings chapter 11, you don't have to turn there, but it talks about Solomon. And Solomon was the wisest man, they say, that ever lived. I'm not sure about that. Well, I believe it because God said it. Amen. But I don't know if he kept his wisdom all that time. Remember, he married, 1,000 wives and 300 concubines? I don't know how wise he was. One man, one woman. Amen. But let me read this. It says, King Solomon loved many strange women. These are women that don't know the Lord. And it says, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, Hittites. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come into you, for surely they will turn away your heart from their gods. Solomon clave to these in love, it says. And he had 700 wives, I said 1,000, I'm wrong there, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. And then it goes on and it names all of these false gods that he began to worship. Isn't that amazing? The love for the wrong thing turned him away from God. The love for the right thing brings us back to God. So we keep ourselves in the love of God. We need to do that because we want to please the Lord. We want to love him with all our heart, all our soul, all our strength, all our might. Love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it's called charity, which is love in action. Though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, I am nothing. Though I give all my goods to bestow all my goods to feed the poor and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. There's this love that makes everything alive, and that's the love we keep ourselves in. Again, we have Mark chapter 4. It's the parable of the seed and the sower, and the seed is the word of God, and it's going on different ground. And one type of the ground is the thorny ground. And it says, the cares of this world, those are the thorns, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. I don't know how much news you watch, but the more news you watch, the more your mind thinks about, boy, things are a mess, you know? It'd be better just to read the Bible for a while, you know? And sometimes what we put in our mind goes to our heart, amen? As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That's where the praise comes from. Garbage in, what was that? Garbage in, garbage out, you know? And so we want to fill our minds and our hearts with the wonder of God, just the wonder of God. Just let your mind have a spiritual imagination and think about one day being with the Lord. Amen? And what that is going to be like, and your loved ones that have gone before you, what's that going to be like? And how God meets our needs and all that he does for us in this present life. It's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. 2 Timothy 4:10. Demas, who went with Paul on some of his journeys, Paul said, hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. He loved the world took him this way. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It's like you can't have both. How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord is God, serve him. If Baal is God, serve him. But if you serve Baal, it kind of pulls you in that direction. You know, if it's all the world, it pulls you in that direction. And you lose the wonder. You lose the amazement. You lose that spirit of, wow, isn't God good? And we're supposed to be praising him. Amen. The church at Ephesus, if you want to turn there, I guess I shouldn't keep telling you, you don't have to turn there. This is Revelation chapter 2. In chapter 2 and chapter 3, you have the seven churches, and their pictures, and we can glean from each one of these churches, but the church at Ephesus, boy, they had a lot together. They really had a lot together. And we'll read about that. Verse 1, unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Boy, they had some wisdom here. They knew the right doctrine. It says, and has borne them that has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. That's really good. They're faithful. They're right there. But the next verse says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. But look at all we're doing. Look at all we're faithful in. You can count on us. I mean, it's a Mary Martha thing. Martha was so mad at Mary because she wasn't helping her with the chores. And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, why are you cumbered about so much with all of this work? Mary hath chosen the good part. And she just sat at his feet. And she loved him. And he loved her. And she received all of this fellowship with the Lord. It's important to serve the Lord. Amen. But we serve him because we love him. And when we stop loving him, we might ought to just withdraw and just go back and sit in a prayer closet for a while. Amen? Where we can love the Lord. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. John 13:35, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, again, if you have love one toward another. Where does that come from? Where does that love come from? To love our brothers in Christ, our sisters in Christ, even our enemies we're to love. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Last week we talked about the spiritual man, the spiritual woman. That's God working in us to do his good pleasure. Stand in awe that God loves you. Be astonished that God is kind and merciful to you. Be amazed that God daily loads you with benefits. God does amazing things. Last week, for you visitors, last week before the service, well, actually on Saturday, my wife and I were praying for something amazing to happen at church. I prayed that again today, and you're here. Amen? And we mean that. We mean that. We're glad you're here, that you had the faith and the love for God to come to church today. But we prayed, God, do something amazing today. Don't know what it's going to be. So I'm up. I got done leading the singing, and I looked down for something in my songbook. And I looked back up, and there were like 20 to 30 people here. Most of them were students from the University of Chicago. And there's a Christian organization, and they help foreign students see America, learn the ways of Americans, come to a church, go to this, go to that. And a good Christian couple had all these students. They were probably about 20, 25. They were Hindu, and they were Buddhist, except there was one Christian among all of those students. And I didn't know that to start out, but I knew where they were from, and I, you know, thought, well, we'll give the gospel out. And we just preached the gospel. And think of how amazing that is, that God took students from the University of Chicago in those religions to come to a Bible-preaching church and hear about Jesus Christ. That was amazing. It says about who am I thinking of? Elijah. He went in the strength of that meat 40 days. Amen? It was a miracle, and that gave him strength for 40 days. I've got, how many? I've got 20-some days left, because I can go in the strength of that meat. And I didn't know what to expect today, and it really is a blessing having you. Amen? And when we're all done with the message, we want you to clean out the sheds for us while you're here. Amen? I'm really glad you came. Amen? But I mean, stand in awe. I mean, here's Moses, and he holds the rod out. The Red Sea hasn't parted yet. But thank God he held the rod out. Amen? Here's Joshua marching around the city. Boy, did that look foolish. You know, until the walls fell down. Then it wasn't foolish anymore. Paul, I want you to go to Philippi. Well, we were thinking about going here. We were thinking about going there. No, Paul, Philippi is the place. And think of the great work that was done in Philippi. I mean, you could go on and on and on. Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able to do abundantly, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Abraham, back in Genesis, speaking of reverence. Sometimes we take the Bible, this is what I do. I take the Bible and I see if my heart or my life matches Bible Christianity. There's Christianity out there. There's religion all over the place. But what about Bible Christianity? Do I love God with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength, all my might? Do I love my neighbor as myself? And what is love? And so you go to 1 Corinthians 13 and you try and put all of this and you look at yourself. Let every man examine himself, whether he be in the faith or no. And we read something in the Bible and we say, is that true in my life? We read something about faith, about comfort, the God of all comfort. He's able to comfort us in all our tribulations so that we can comfort somebody else that has the same problem. God, is that true in my life? And you examine yourself. And then what you don't understand, the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. Who can know it? God, search my heart and know me, see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way. So a lot of times where there's teaching, preaching, devotions, that's what we're doing. We're looking at the Bible and we're saying, do I fit in this? Abraham, we're talking about reverence now. respect, esteem, value, prize. Abraham in Genesis, Abram fell on his face and God talked with him. Jacob in Genesis 28:17. This is none other than the house of God. Remember, he was leaving his home, and it says he made a vow there. Moses, Exodus chapter 3 and verse 6, he hid his face because in verse 5 he was on holy ground. Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 6, he said, I saw the Lord high, sitting on a throne high and lifted up. And then when the Lord said, who shall I send? Who will go for me? Isaiah said, here am I, send me. He had that reverence for Almighty God. The centurion in Matthew 8:8 said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. I'm not worthy. John the Baptist in John chapter 1, I'm not worthy to unlatch his shoe. In John chapter 3, John said, he must increase and I must decrease. You have the wise men. It's almost Christmas, right? By the way, if you're visiting, my birthday is December 6th. If you're not able to be here around that time, you can always send me a card or a gift. Amen? 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 No amens. I never get an amen on that. But Christmas, the wise men, Matthew 2, they fell down and worshiped him. After that journey, that was the purpose of their journey, and they presented gifts unto him. We have Peter, Luke 5:8, when Simon Peter saw it, this great miracle of the fish, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, I'm a sinful man, O Lord. Verse 9, for he was astonished. He was astonished. Look what God did. Every good and perfect gift cometh from above. And sometimes God is doing something in our life and we don't like what he's doing, but all things work together for good to them that love God. To them are the called according to his purpose. And God is just working some miracle in our life. We have John on Revelation, on the Isle of Patmos in Revelation. Chapter 1, verse 17. When I saw him, I fell at his feet. Paul in Acts chapter 9 on the Damascus Road. He accepts the Lord. And he said, who art thou, Lord? Verse 5, verse 6. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And then God told him, and he did what God told him to do. Because he was astonished. God is speaking to me. My life is different. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 5. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. And keep thyselves in the love of God. God does a work, and we do a work. Amen. Are you filled with wonder today? Do you know the Lord is your Savior? If you've ever been saved, it's precious blood from the precious Word. It's a precious Savior. Amen? It's like precious faith. And it's the riches of His grace. And it's all of those wonderful things. And God saved me. God, it lives inside of me. God one day is taking me to heaven. I'm going to have a new body. I'm going to be transformed in the twinkling of an eye, be with the Lord. And you can't wrap your mind around it. You know? All you can do is believe it by faith. The Lord direct your hearts. While I was musing, the fire burned. While I'm thinking about it, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Whatsoever things are pure, holy, just, righteous, think on these things. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I wrote down a number of verses. My son, give me thine heart, create in me a clean heart. Why? He's worthy. He is worthy of all that we are. I want you to take your Bibles. I want to turn to two portions of Scripture, and then we'll be done. Philippians chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 4. Philippians chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 4. Do I love God? Do I have faith in God the way Abraham did? Or am I willing to do what Isaiah did or the Apostle Paul? What's the song Francis Havergal? Take my houses and my lands, all my dreams and all my plans. You know, all the things that we think about, because God has been so good to us. Philippians chapter 2. The whole chapter is great. Paul's talking about being like-minded, having the same love, one accord, one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Verse 7, he made himself of no reputation, became a servant. Verse 8, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And that's what we're wondering in wonder about today with the Lord's Supper. But here's the verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. Revelation chapter 4. Chapter 4 and verse 1, we believe that's speaking of the rapture. We come down to the end of the chapter. And let's begin reading in verse 8. There's some deep meanings here, but we'll just begin to read. Verse 8, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders, this is speaking of the church, fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. They're bowing down before the Lord. Over chapter 5, and they sung a new song, verse 9, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made unto us kings and it's made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, this is what we read in Philippians 2, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. What are we going to do in heaven? I don't think we're going to sit on clouds with harps. I just don't personally think that. But I saw a picture of that one time. No, that's not what's going to happen. It's going to be so wonderful. It's going to be beyond imagination. Paul saw things that were unspeakable, the unspeakable riches of Christ. It's so wonderful that we're going to glorify God for all eternity. Whether we understand that or not, that's what it says. Philippians chapter 2 says that day too. Why could we do that in heaven and not here? Because there we shall know, even as we're known, we shall know him as he is. Amen. And our faith will be sight. So what is it that keeps us in the love of God? It's our faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So we get into the Bible. The Bible is God's word. It's a wonderful book. It's alive. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And by reading that book, our faith is increased in what? Through faith, we believe the worlds were framed by the word of God, creation. Amen. By faith, we believe that God saves people and all that he promises us. And there we are. We're seeing that love of God. We're drawn to that wonder, that amazement, that astonishment. And it just draws us closer and closer and closer. Sometimes, the older you get, the more you think about that. Amen. And it's a precious, precious truth. that God comforts us with. Do you love him? If maybe your love's a little cold today, the Lord says, come back to that. How does that love fire up? While I was musing, the fire burned. Amen? It's spending time in this book, because this will keep drawing you back to him. There's a verse that means a lot to me, and I'll close. Of course, Paul said that and went two more chapters. He said, finally, brethren, and then he wrote two more chapters. But there's a verse in the Bible that says, by the words of thy mouth, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. God in his providence has led me and protected me, and I'm sure you can identify with this. It brought me to this wonderful church to minister to people, and people have been saved and have heard the gospel and have been encouraged. And wherever God has put you, wherever he's put you, isn't it amazing? Isn't your life amazing? When you got saved and how you got saved and the people that God used you to get saved, isn't that amazing? If you've lost that wonder, it's miserable. And the way to get it back is this book. Spend time in it, your faith will grow. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we love you. We love you. I pray that you would increase our faith today. May we be lost in that wonder and amazement. May we think about it. May it take our hearts and our minds and draw us closer to you. And Lord, if there's somebody here today that has never received Jesus as their Savior, all they know, it maybe, is religion. All they know is rules, commandments. I pray today that they might meet him who died for them. I pray today that they might experience the love of God by receiving Christ as their Savior. I pray that, Lord. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus as your Savior, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's so easy. It's believing Jesus is the Son of God and that he died on a cross for your sins. And if you receive him as your Savior, he'll give you a home in heaven for all eternity. That's his promise to you. You can say a prayer right now. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can say a prayer silently in your heart. God will hear the prayer of your heart. You don't have to say the exact words, just however God has spoken to you. Something like, dear Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Thank you for dying in my place. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I receive you as my Savior and ask you to give me a home in heaven when I die. In Jesus' precious name, amen.